find your hymn book near you. Those of you that are here, kind of gather in, get settled. But hymn 240, The Lily of the Valley. Hymn 240, join me in standing, and we'll sing out there on that first verse. Hymn 240. I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols gone for my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, though Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul on that last. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen. Good evening to you. And let's see here. Brother Brian, would you come pray for us, please? And then we'll take some testimonies if you have one. And we'll just have a good time. Brother Brian?
All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for another Sunday night that we can gather together. We've already been blessed and encouraged today and strengthened by your word. Use this time tonight to continue to prepare us for this week and to continue to prepare us to be more like your son. And as we go out into the world this week, just help us to show your love to others. Help us to always be ready to share the gospel. And pray that you do great things tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's see. Does anyone have a testimony? Let's start with that. All right, no testimonies? Brian has a testimony. Good. So up front here. I was getting ready to close that out. So, very good.
I had the back-to-school bash yesterday and had a lot of fun. But mostly I was just going to say I was impressed by our teenagers. How they handled themselves and how they, you don't always expect the worst. That's a bad thing to say. But, people are always talking about how crazy teenagers are and how they're terrible monsters, things like that. And I think our teenagers are pretty good people. And they did well yesterday. This is sounding not like I meant it to. But I wanted to thank you guys for behaving and for having fun in a non-destructive way yesterday. So,
amen.
Thanks.
The best description of teenagers I've heard is that they're mutants, because they're no longer children, but they're not adults, and they're mutating through the process. Amen. Teenage mutant people. Amen. Anyone else have a testimony? Brother Stephen has one. He's got his own mic.
We're on now. There we go. Also yesterday, I was just blessed. They did a great job. I think he actually had the good van going there. That's what I was gonna say. I was just blessed. We had a good time with the service, and I know I could just tell. I know I was blessed and encouraged. They had, I think it was, youth pastor told me down there, around 740 teenagers come in, and just a fantastic meeting, and good special music, and just I thought a really good reception to the gospel, solid gospel presentation. There's even one from our youth group I've got to follow up with that I believe might have made a decision, I'm not sure. But I know they had 15 teenagers saved or make professions of faith that evening, and it was encouraging to see. I had a blast. I just kind of poked in and did different things, but I had a blast just watching our teens have fun together, and that's one of the goals of our youth group is to develop friendships, and I thought it was an extremely successful trip in that way, and it was really, really good. Can I do a prayer request as well? All right. I'll just pray for, ask for your request for heading out this weekend, leaving Friday, should get in Oklahoma sometime Saturday, but just travel mercies as we go and everything that happens, and eventually as Teresa and I make our way back.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Ms. Peggy?
Trying to do the running in and running out thing, and we all know you don't do that with Ms. Inez, but I had took her some peaches and had a blessed little visit with her, and she needs our prayers for her health and for her children to leave her alone about that. She's no young spring chicken anymore, no matter what they think, but anyway, glad to be in the Lord's house.
Amen. Amen. We're glad you're here. Anyone else? Let me give you just a couple of announcements. Of course, this Saturday, we will be going to the one-day missions trip, going over to Hartford, Alabama. We'll be leaving early in the morning, be back mid-afternoon, and we're going to pass out some John and Romans and just have a good time doing it with Brother Aaron Pack and his family. And there may be a couple other people coming in as well, but we're going to help them out. And so you pray for us as we go. And then also pray for Brother Sam as he travels in on Saturday. And he will be preaching for us all day on Sunday. And then, of course, as Brother Stephen already mentioned, he and Teresa getting married, not this coming weekend, but next. And so we pray for them as they go through that and as they make their way back here. So those are the announcements that I have for you this evening. We're going to sing another song this evening, so Brother Stephen will come.
All right. Find your hymn book, hymn 243, Victory in Jesus. Hymn 243, Victory in Jesus. Join me in standing. We'll sing all three verses. And as we get to that last chorus, men, if you want to make your way forward for the time of offering, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary, to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing. On that second I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. Then I cried, you Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me turned all my love into him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And someday I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen.
Amen. Braden's going to come pray for us. Amen. Pray well, okay? Do a good job.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us be at your house tonight. Pray for all the prayer requests that your people gave us. And bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just sing just the chorus of I'd Rather Have Jesus. If you'll go ahead and stand, we'll sing just that, just the chorus, then to be a king of a vast domain. We'll sing that chorus and then get around and greet each other here this evening.
Than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread way, I'd rather world affords today.
Let's get around and greet each other here this evening. All right, let's sing that chorus one more time, and we'll let it prepare us for the time of the message. Then to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin dressed way, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, amen. Very, very good. Let's take our Bibles tonight and look to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, we're going to take a trip tonight to visit someone. And so you just make sure you got your stuff packed and you're ready to go. Amen? Thank you, Brother Don. Brother Don is ready to go. Some, you know, if we're going to go visit somebody, you got to pack a bag. Now, you might not have that much time to pack, but I hope that you'll grab just enough. We won't be too long, though. It'll be just a short visit while we're there. But I hope that while we're here tonight, we will get a hold of what the Word of God says and that we can see how it applies to our life tonight. Amen? So let's begin reading in Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. For the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do this, or can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hand. O house of Israel, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore saith the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a horrible, very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate, and a perpetual hissing. Every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished. wag his head. And I will scatter them as an east wind before the enemy. And I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. I want you to drop down into verse number 19. As God tells Jeremiah, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people and the ancients of the priests and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents, and have built also the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my hand. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall be called, or no more be called, Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I want you to drop down to verse number 10. As God tells Jeremiah about that earthen bottle that he brought from the potter's house, in verse number 10, he said, then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury. I want to draw your attention back to chapter 18. As the Bible says to what God told Jeremiah in verse number 2, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. If you're in the habit of marking your Bibles, I'd ask you to underline that phrase there. He wrought a work. He wrought a work. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. Underline that phrase. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. He wrought a work, so he made it again, another vessel. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, What We Can Learn at the Potter's House. What we can learn at the Potter's House. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, I thank Thee, because God, You are our God. And I thank Thee for the fact that You gave us Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin. You allowed Him to raise again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And as He has ascended and sitting next to Your right hand, Father, we rejoice in this. Our hope is in this fact. And God, tonight as we look a little back before the day that Jesus came and that He died and was buried and rose again, we look back through the book of Jeremiah. And Father, we see so many attributes that You have. And Father, You give this illustration of the potter's house. Father, may we glean from it tonight. May we see the work of Your hand in our lives. May we allow ourselves to be pliable and moldable into what you would have us to be. May we not be marred. May we not be disfigured. May we not be unusable. But Father, may we just yield ourselves to you. That you would make us into the vessel that you would have us to be. Not for our honor, not for our glory, but your own. Do a work in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Jeremiah, arise, go down to the potter's house, and I will cause thee to hear my words. I love to see the Lord use these illustrations in the life of his people. Of course, here we find a beautiful picture of Jeremiah and the Lord using the potter to illustrate to Jeremiah several points about himself. And God uses this in such a way that I think we can break this down and make a little sense of it in our own mind and our own heart as to how it applies even to our lives today. So what are some lessons we can learn at the potter's house? Number one, we can see the potter's mission. The potter's mission. Now, we see first of all his intention. What is his mission? Well, he has an intention that he is going to do something, and that intention is to turn some clay into something that is usable. Now, when we think about the ingredients that he uses, he's using that of clay. Now, in this, it is really an undesirable material, isn't it? Now, when you think about clay, what can you do with it? Now, this is not, how we necessarily, we go to Walmart and we get some, we get some Play-Doh and some clay and we can work with it. No, this actually took a little bit more work as the potter actually had to go out and take some work and dig up out of the ground this clay. And it wasn't just any particular type of clay. It was a specific type of clay and one that he had to work for and one that had to be in the right place at the right time. But it was something that he was going to use and these ingredients that must be transformed into something that was usable. That was usable as the potter in this particular day and time of making pottery, as they would go and they would dig the clay up, it was something that had to sit usually for weeks. And it had to become treated within a special vessel that was usually made out of some type of cement or some type of hard surface that water would come in and the water would slush around this particular clay for several weeks as the potter would get it to exactly the place that he knew that it was going to be usable. We see not just his ingredients of the clay. We don't just see the intention to turn that clay into a usable vessel, but we see his instruments. What instruments did the potter have to use in order to get this clay into a place that was necessary? Well, we see the first thing he had to use was a shovel. If you're going to go and dig something up, you probably ought to have a shovel. And so I want you to picture that potter as he goes down into the pit, into the place where the clay was at, and he had to remove the first layer of dirt and the first layer of earth to actually get to the place where the clay was. And he would dig it up, and he'd bring it back to his house. And in this, as we see his instruments that the potter would use, I can't help but think that isn't it amazing how God is using this illustration of a potter? And he says, just as the potter, so am I. So this shovel that God goes down, I feel like as the potter would have to go and go to the clay, I'm reminded that it was God that came to us. Amen. God came to us. He comes to where we are at. Of course, we know He sent Jesus Christ to this earth, to the living Word being made flesh and dwelling among us. God came to us. We see not just the shovel that the potter uses, but we also see a mallet. A mallet. And we find this in just studying a little bit of pottery, and we find this mallet as the potter would take that clay out of that pot, and he would begin working that clay and getting that clay into a place that was ready to start to be molded and starting to be used. And he would work that clay, but part of the process was he would take a mallet and he would begin to pound on that clay. And pound on that clay. Now we may look at that and say, man, that's probably a little uncomfortable. I don't like anybody pounding on me. Well, what was the purpose? Well, as that potter would work that clay out on his table and take that hammer and pound it out, what he was doing was he was trying to get out all the imperfections. He was trying to remove all the air bubbles that would build up from being in the water and being in that preparation time period. And he would work out those air bubbles by getting it out, because he knew that if those air bubbles were to stay within that clay as he was molding it, it would create a weak spot within the vessel. And so that mallet was used to continually work out those weak spots. And we know that there are things in our life that God uses to bring us to a place where we have only dependence upon Him. Sometimes it's the trials of life that God brings into our life, that God allows to come to treat us as that mallet, as it's removing those air pockets and strengthening us. And you say, it doesn't sound like getting beat is something that would strengthen us. But in this illustration here, as God being the potter, we know as He gives this illustration that the mankind would be the clay that He is working with. And we see this mallet working out and causing the weak spots to be strengthened. The third instrument that we see, we find right in the midst of our verses here in verse number 3, as he says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." I want you to notice the wheels that the potter uses. The first wheel is one that is standing upright, and one that the potter is working with his feet. And he's getting that bottom wheel spinning, and then that bottom wheel is spinning that top wheel that's coming round and round and round, so that he places that clay on there, and with his hands he begins to mold and he begins to work the clay that is there. And the amazing thing that we would say in our life, sometimes we would say, you know, sometimes life just seems to go round and round, and we call it, you know, we may call it the wheel of life. And of course, we know that this is not just a wheel that is continually spinning, but we see it as God's will in our life. And it's amazing how the potter is controlling the speed. The clay is not. As that potter works that wheel is going to go as fast as the potter wants it to go and as slow as the potter needs it to go. For what purpose? For his purpose. For his mission. We see that as the potter slows it down whenever he wants and speeds it up whenever is necessary, the clay is not the determining factor. It's the potter who is. The instruments that he uses, this shovel, this mallet, this wheel. But probably the most important instrument that the potter uses in forming this clay is his own hands. His own hands. As that potter works that wheel with his foot, if you'll notice and if you'll study, whenever the potter is spinning that wheel, his hands are in constant contact with that clay. His hands never come off, because he's forming. He is making. He is preparing. He is building something here. And the clay is never out of the potter's hands. He is always within constant contact. And he works it. He works it. Why? To turn the clay into a usable vessel. To turn the clay into something that was nothing but now is something. To turn that clay into something that was not usable before but now it is usable. That's the potter's mission. And as we see this within this particular passage here tonight, as we see in Jeremiah 18, we see that not just the potter's mission, but we see the potter's ministry. In verse number 4, it says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." As it seemed good. But it was something that was marred, and I want you to notice this marred vessel. This is not the fault of the potter himself, but of the clay not being moldable. The clay not finding itself and getting itself out of shape. As we see the perception of the potter, we know every master potter that's going to make that again, I want you to remember, he's working that wheel. He's already worked the hammer. He's already dug the clay and put it there, and he's already prepared it, and he's working that wheel, and he's working that wheel, and his hands are in constant contact. How does the potter know that something's wrong with the clay? How does he know it's marred? Isn't it amazing how God, in his own perception, because his hands are always within the work, knows exactly when the potter, or when the clay, becomes marred. He can feel it in his hands. And we see as he takes this, and we see the patience of the potter. I mean, I can tell you that if I were doing this, if I were the potter, and I worked for, and I want to remind you, the to get that to the place where you're actually coming now and you're molding and you're making and you're turning it into a vessel, it was a process of several weeks. We talked about patience this morning. Allowing ourselves to become patient while we wait on God. Now, if I were the potter, and I'd waited several weeks, and I'm now coming in here, and I'm working that, and then I feel it, and it's marred, I think I'd get upset at the clay. I'd probably take that clay and just throw it out. Throw it out the back door, right, Shane? In the backyard. Find me another clay. Right? Isn't that what you would do? But we see in this, we see the patience of the potter. He says, the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. He didn't go and get another piece of clay. He took that clay and began to rework it. I think that this is a beautiful, beautiful picture that God has given to us in that